हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभम् विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। सो वी हैव बीन सीइंग दिस हस्तामलक स्तोत्रम। विवस्वत् प्रभातम् यथारूपमक्षम् प्रगृह्णाति नाभातमेवं विवस्वान् यदा भात आभासयत्यक्षमेकः स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा अहमात्मा अहमात्मा। विवस्वत् प्रभातम् यथारूपमक्षम् प्रगृह्णाति नाभातमेवं विवस्वान् यदा भात आभासयत्यक्षमेकः स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा अहमात्मा अहमात्मा। See it again. As I said, the last line is the same line like every other verse. Saha nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. So I am atma, implying the ever available, ever obtaining pure consciousness. Upalabdhi swarupaha itself means implies consciousness only, pure knowledge. When you really using the method of shastras, arriving at reality, you have to say, because you have to refer only this, use this first person pronoun I to refer to yourself, aham. And when you refer, when you use this aham, the first person singular pronoun to refer to yourself, naturally, we already have Dehatma Buddhi. So there is that aham. Aham sometimes refers to the body, sometimes refers to the mind, sometimes refers to the pranas, sometimes refers to all of them. But actually speaking, ultimately, the I should refer only to the formless, abstract, non-material consciousness. Because mind is a matter, sense organs are matter, organs of actions are matter, pranas are matter, physiology, of course, the physical body, of course, a gross matter, which is not matter here. All of them are material products. But we refer to all of them also. This I, even though I is used, referred to one's own self, that I actually, we take all the material products also, the instruments also as I. And we also take the physiological functions as I. We also take the body as I. Whereas here, this Upalabdhi Swarupaha is pure consciousness, absolutely free from, it has nothing to do with anything, nothing to do with the any material aspects. The non-material pure consciousness alone is Upalabdhi Swarupaha, and that is, and that consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness. It pervades even time and space. There's nothing subtler than consciousness. Nothing beyond consciousness. Consciousness is beyond everything. Therefore, it is what? All pervasive. Being the subtlest, it is implied by the term Atma. So he is very clear that I refers to only the consciousness implied by the term Atma, Aham Atma. Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Aham Atma. And he says here, Vivasvat Prabhatam Yatha Rupam Aksham Pragrinnati. Aksham means I grasps. Aksham Pragrinnati means I grasps. What is, which object does I illumine? I mean, I grasps. our seeing power is capable of grasping objects only which reflect light. Suppose if the object does not reflect light, the object remains in darkness, even our seeing power cannot grasp it. What he says here, Vivaswat means sun. You all know the sun has many names. One of the names is Vivasvan. And here, when you take it as a pratipadikam, as a base word, you say Vivaswat. So Vivaswat Prabhatam.
Swami, you have finished 9, 10 and 11 as well. We need to do 12th.
Yeah, I'll just go. I'm going. Let me tell you again. Gradually take you.
Okay.
So, Vivaswat Prabhatam Yatha Rupam Yatha Aksham Grinna Pragrinnati Na Abhatam Na Abhatam. Na Abhatam Na Abhatam. So this eye does not pick up an object which remains in darkness, which does not reflect the light. In the same way, evam Vivaswan, yad Abhataha, even Vivaswan, if it is not illumined with, if it, Vivaswan is not illumined by awareness, definitely, Aksham Abhasa Ekaha, Ekaha Aksham Abhasayati. So there is something else which illumines even the sense power. Not only that, which illumines the sense organ through the mind, and that ultimate illuminator is consciousness, which is implied by the term Aham. He says it's Aham Atma, the 10th verse we saw already. Then, Yatha Suryaha Yekaha Api Anekaha Chalasu Ekaha Suryaha Cha Anekaha Chalasu Stirasu Api Ananyad Vibhavyasurupaha Chalasu Prabhinnaha Sudhishu Ekaha Eva Sanitya Upalabdhi Surupaha Ahamatma. This is called, we have two vadas. One is Avicheda Vadaha and this Pratibimba Vadaha. Pratibimba Vadaha means the teaching based on the reflection. When you say your sun is one, but still sun appears to be many in the, when the reflecting media, the pots or containers having water are many. In keeping with the different containers where water is divided, water is kept, and the reflecting media happens to be many, the reflections of sun also appear to be many. Really speaking, the source of any number of reflections is one and the only sun. Similarly, he says, in the mind also, we have innumerable, we have many thoughts, varied thoughts. Thoughts related to the mind, thoughts relating to, associated, pertaining to the intellect, thoughts pertaining to the memory, thoughts pertaining to the various emotions which constitute the mind. Even aham vrittihi. Like this, where thoughts are many. So in all these varied thoughts, and the thoughts keep on changing also, in all these varied, arriving, departing thoughts, which are all, every thought is a manifesting medium for consciousness. In all of them, the consciousness gets reflected, like just as the sun gets reflected in the water. Therefore, the reflecting media, the thoughts are many, therefore, and they keep moving also. The thoughts keep moving. Many, the plural in number, they keep moving also. Therefore, Prabhinnaha Chalasu Sudhishu Ekaha Eva, one and the only consciousness implied by the term Atma alone, seems to be reflected and manifesting in varied thoughts, as though many jivas, we have to remember the consciousness manifest in the antahkaranam alone gets the qualification of jiva. Who is the jiva? Consciousness reflected in the antahkaranam alone gets the name jiva. And the minds are many, therefore there seems to be many jivas. Not only that, even in a one mind itself, the thoughts are many, therefore there seems to be many reflections or many manifestations. Thoughts keep moving, therefore it seems as though consciousness is moving. This unmoving only consciousness alone appears to be moving and many because of the plurality of thoughts and because of the movement of the vrittis, the thoughts. So chalasu prabhinnaha sudhishu. Sudhishu means in thoughts. Ekaha eva, one and the only consciousness alone, there which is implied with the term Atma. I am that only non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, unmoving, all-pervasive consciousness implied with the term Atma, distinct from the varied thoughts which come and go, which keep moving also. So the 12th one, this is the only verse we have. 12th number, in this text it is 12. It's not actually 12. Ghanachanna drishtir ghanachanna markam. Ghanachanna drishtir ghanachanna markam. Yatha nishprabham manyate chati modha. Tatha baddha vadbhati yo modha drishte. Sanityopalabdhya swaroopohamatma, ahamatma, ahamatma. Ghanachanna dhrishtir ghanachanna markam. Yatha nishprabham manyate chati moodah. Tatha baddha vadbhati yo moodha drishtehe. Sanityopalabdhya swaroopohamatma, ahamatma, ahamatma. Yeah, he gives a beautiful example. Ghanaha means megaha, cloud. Ghanaha, megaha means cloud. Channa means covered. Channa, covered. No, chadayati. Channa is a participle of chadayati, covers. Ganachanna drishtihi. Drishtihi means one's sight. See, when our vision is covered, our vision is not covered, when our eyes are covered, means we are not able to see. When ganachannam arkam, there's a moon in the sky, sorry. Arkaha means sun. Arkaha means suryaha. The sun is in the sky where there are many clouds. And what we see, because we see, the clouds prevent us from seeing the sun. Prevent our eyes from seeing the sun. When the sun is covered by clouds, ganachannam arkam. Ganachannaha arkaha means the sun which seems to be, or which is seemingly covered by clouds. Ganachanna drishtihi. Our vision also, and our vision is our sight also, is as though prevented by the clouds. It means our eyes are not able to see the sun when the sun is covered by the clouds. The problem is with our eyes. We are not able to see the cloud, sun, because the clouds are covering the sun. But really speaking, do the clouds really cover the sun? No. Clouds, how can clouds cover the sun? The clouds seem to be covering the sun. The sun is as though covered. The very fact that we are able to see the sun being covered by, as though covered by clouds because of the sunlight. The very fact that we are able to see the sun being covered by clouds because of the sunlight. So, ghanachanna drishtihi, ghanachanna markam, the one whose sight is covered, now prevented from seeing this sun, because of when it is as though covered by clouds, then what do we think? Say, atimodaha, no, highly deluded person, manyate thinks yatha nishprabham. He thinks sun is devoid of brilliance. Nishprabham, arkam nishprabham manyate. He mistakes the sun to be sun as though it is devoid of brilliance. Nishprabha. See, sun can never become nishprabha. Sun always saprabha. Sun is ever brilliant. Sun never becomes, because brilliance, sun is the source of brilliance, source of light. It never becomes nishprabha. It never becomes, lightless. Never it is devoid of light. But atimodaha manyate. Atimodaha, the highly deluded person, atimodaha manyate thinks yatha nishpabham manyate. Just as highly deluded person, not knowing the fact that only his eyes are prevented from seeing the sun because of the clouds, but the sun is not covered by the clouds. But he does not think. He mistakes as though sun is devoid of brilliance. Arkam nishprabham manyate atimodaha. The clouds covering the sun does not make the sun a brilliant, brilliance-free sun. No, sun is ever brilliant. So it means it is the error in one's conclusion. Atimodaha, deluded person, thinks, oh, sun is not bright, or sun is devoid of brilliance, because sun is covered by, he also mistakes the sun to be covered by clouds. Clouds can never cover the sun. Even the clouds appearance of as though covering the sun also is not because of the very sun. The sun cannot be covered. So he says, ghanachanna drishtihi, ghanachannam arkam nishpavam manyate. First of all, he thinks sun is covered by clouds. Then he thinks sun is not bright. Because he is deluded. He does not know. The problem is only that our eyes are not able to see. Oh, the clouds can only prevent our eyes from seeing the sun. But he cannot say that sun does not become the one without light. Tatha, in the same way, baddhavat bhati yaha mudadrishtehe. Similarly, atma is ever free, ever untouched, untainted by time, space or objects. Atma is free from time limitation. Atma is free from spatial limitation. Atma is free from object limitation. No object, nothing in the world, no matter can, even though matter is closely associated, still it is not, atma is never touched, tainted, harmed by the matter, material products. So atma is ever free. Therefore, even though it is like saying, and the space obtaining within the enclosure called pot is not divided. It seems to be divided, but really not divided. It's not different from the total space. Similarly here also, it is all pervasive, only reality consciousness is ever free, free from all limitations, but still, baddhavat bhati, it seems to be bound. Because this all-pervasive, only reality consciousness obtaining in the mind, okay, mind upadhi, mind which is within this body, mentions within this body. So consciousness obtaining in the mind which is within this body seems to be bound by limitations, mooda drishtehe, in the perception of a non-thinking person, a deluded minded. Deluded minded is the one who does not have satyam mithya viveka, who does not have the discriminating knowledge of what is satyam, what is real and what is mithya. In such a person's perception, in his understanding, in his view, atma baddhavat bhati, the ever free atma seems to be bound in the perception, in the view of a deluded person. Okay, that atma which is ever free, the ever free atma which alone seems to be bound in the perception, the view of a deluded person, that ever free atma, nothing but pure ever obtaining consciousness implied by the term atma. I am that ever free atma obtaining in the form of pure consciousness implied by the term atma, which is mistaken to be bound by a deluded minded. Like what? Just as the non-coverable sun is mistaken to be covered by clouds, similarly the ever-brilliant sun is mistaken to be devoid of the brilliance by a deluded minded when his sight is covered by the clouds, prevented from seeing the sun. Similarly, here also, the person who has identity with the anatma, body, mind, sense complex, who has wrong identity, thereby who mistakes the also ever-free atma, he mistakes the ever-free atma to be bound by limitations. Okay, and this ever free atma also seems to be bound, in the view of the perception of a ignorant person or deluded minded. And such atma, which is mistaken to be bound by a deluded person, that ever free atma, which is of the nature of consciousness alone, I am. So I am that. I am atma implying the reality, ever free reality, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness. So mooda drishtehe baddhavat bhati. Yaha atma, that atma, which ever free atma, which seems to be bound in the drishti, in the vision, in the view, the perception of a moda, a deluded person, that ever-free atma obtaining in the form of consciousness implied with the term aham, atma, I am. So I am ever-free atma, never bound by any limitations. That is the meaning of this verse, 12th verse. I said I need to unfold them again and see the literal meaning first. Ghana channa drishtihi ghanachanna markam. See, ghanachanna drishtihi, the person whose eyes are prevented from seeing, the covered by the clouds, and he mistakes the ghanachannam arkam, he mistakes the sun to be covered by clouds, and thereby he mistakes the ever brilliant sun to be nishprabaha, devoid of brilliance. Manyate yatha nishprabham manyate cha atimudaha tatha. Similarly, ever free atma is mistaken to be bound, ever free atma appears to be bound in the view of a deluded minded, and that atma, ever free atma, nothing but pure consciousness, that ever free reality is pure consciousness implied by the term Atma. I am that Atma. He is so clear. He is already very, very clear. He, even though he is talking, having the body, mind, sense complex, his identity is absolutely with the pure consciousness. Imagine if your identity is with only with the pure consciousness and you are able to be objective towards the body, mind, sense complex. That is real freedom. That is real, that is the greatest luxury. You know why? You are free. You're already free, always free. But you seem to be afflicted because of the wrong identity. So that's what he says. I'm moving on to the next verse. Remember, we'll be redoing these verses, okay? I'm not completing it now itself. I'm just introducing the verses first. Samasteshu vastushvanu syutamekam. Samasteshu vastushvanu syutamekam. Samastani vastuni yannas prushanti. Samastani vastuni yannas prushanti. Viyadvat sadashuddham achaswarupam. Viyadvat sadashuddham achaswarupam. Sanityopalabdhiswarupoham atma. Aham atma. Aham atma. He says, samasteshu vastushu. I'll be redoing from the beginning, then become much clearer. But now I want to get all the words. Samasteshu vastushu anusyutam. The end sandhi comes. Samasteshu vastushu anusyutam ekam. Ekam, one and the only reality, anusyutam means in and through, pervading, anusyutam. Vastushu, samasteshu vastushu, in all the objects, that which has pervade, that which is pervading in and through, completely, anusyutam. Samasteshu vastushu anusyutam means that which has pervaded in and through in all the objects. Samasteshu vastushu. Samastani vastuni yannas prushanti. Even though this reality, this absolute subtlest reality, pervades in and through everything here in all the objects, still all the objects do not touch this reality. Samastani vastuni na sprushanti. All these objects do not sprushanti, do not touch this reality. Yat vastu samasteshu vastushu anusyutam asti parantu samastehi vastubihi na sprushyate. But all the objects do not touch this Atma, reality. Like what? See, light pervades in and through the opaque things. Light, there's no physical distance between light and opaque things. Even though there's no physical distance, nor is there time distance. Time-wise distance also is not there. Physical, spatial distance also is not there between light and opaque thing. The opaque thing which shines in the light, how far is it from the opaque light? There's no physical distance. How long does it take for the light to reach the opaque thing? It's already pervading the opaque thing. Okay? There's no distance. Similarly, there's no distance between consciousness and every old subtle gross objects which shine in the light of consciousness. Ultimately, everything shines in the light of consciousness only. This is the fact. See, we think things are opaque, things are shining in the light of the sunlight. In fact, opaque things are shining in the light of the sunlight. That's true relatively. But sun itself is shining in the light of the seeing power. The seeing power is shining in the light of the mind, in the cognition, knowledge. And the knowledge itself shines in the light of consciousness, ultimately. So ultimately, where does the mind shine? Where do the sense organs shine? Where do the objects shine? The whole jagat shines only in the presence of consciousness. Therefore, there is no distant, time-based distance or spatial distance between consciousness and the objects which remain, which shine in the presence of consciousness. There's no distance. So consciousness in and through anusyutam means odurvi irikkirathu. Anusyutam means it remains pervading everything in and through. Samasteshu vastushu anusyutam asti ekam vastu, one and the only truth which alone remains pervading in and through all the objects. But still, samastani vastuni yat na sprushanti, but all the objects do not touch this vastu which pervades everything. Does do not touch. Opaque thing cannot taint, touch the light. Similarly, all the subtle objects, gross objects which shine in the light of consciousness do not touch, taint, you know, pollute the consciousness, the Atma. Okay, Nas Prashanti. He gives example like what? Viyadvat. Viyad means, Viyat means space, sky, space. Viyadvat, like the space, sada shuddham, achaswarupam. So, achaswarupam means ever of the nature of purity. Achaswarupam. This absolute, abstract, subtlest reality is ever of the nature of purity. Achaswarupam. Why? Because shuddham, it is ever pure. It is ever of the nature of purity. Achaswarupam. Shuddham, it is ever pure. Why? It is ever of the nature of untaintedness. Achaswarupam. Because it is ever pure shuddham. Like what? Sada, always. Like Svyat. Like Viyadvat, like this space. See, all the objects are accommodated in space only. All these objects which are accommodated in space do not touch or taint the space. Space is not polluted by objects existing in space. Spaces are polluted by colors existing in space. Space is not polluted by dirty, a stinking air which is accommodated in space. So all the objects exist in space, and all with their own limitations, with their own attributes, with their own gunas. But sound, the space is not tainted or touched or polluted by any of the objects which are accommodated in space. There's no distance between space and the object which exists in space. But at the same time, space is not the all pervasive space, all accommodative space, which has, there's no distance between the object existing in space and the space. Still, space is not polluted, touched, tainted by the objects existing in space. So, Viyadvati, like the space, which is not polluted by the objects existing in space, Sada Shuddham, this reality, abstract, subtlest reality also, sada shuddham, ever pure, achaswarupam, means ever of the nature of untaintedness. Ever of the nature of untaintedness, achaswarupam, shuddham, and that reality which is never touched, never, ever of the nature of untaintedness, ever of ever pure reality is what is Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha, ever obtaining pure awareness, pure consciousness implied by the term Atma, and I am that pure Atma, Aham Atma. Then Samasteshu Vastushvanusyutamekam Samastani Vastuni Yannaspruśanti Viyadvatsadashuddhamachaswarupam Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma Ahamatma Ahamatma Upadho yatha bhedata sanmaninam Upadho yatha bhedata sanmaninam Tatha bhedata buddhi bhedeshu tepi Tatha bhedata buddhi bhedeshu tepi Yatha chandrikanam jale chanchalatvam Yatha chandrikanam jale chanchalatvam Tatha chanchalatvam tava piha Vishnu Tatha chanchalatvam tava piha Vishnu. He's telling, he's addressing self itself directly. He says, Yatha chandrikanam jale chanchalatvam. Chandrika means again moon. Now not only sun, even on a bright full moon day, you see the moon up in the sky, and jale, if you see the reflection of the same moon in a moving waves, the sun, moon does not move. The moon is there, full moon is there. On a full moon day, reflections of the moon obtaining in the moving waves, jale chanchalatvam. So, the reflections of the moon obtaining in the moving waves, because of the movement of the reflections of the moon in the moving waves, the moon as though has the status of being the moving one, chanchalatvam, it has the motion. Tatha, he says, Tatha, chanchalatvam, O Lord, O all pervasive Lord, he is addressing the very self as the Lord. O Lord, hey Vishnu, O all pervasive Lord, Tava api, for you also, iha, here, chanchalatvam, even though you are ever of the, you are ever unmoving, ever of the nature of motionlessness, but you also have chanchalatvam, you also have movement and motion because of the reflections obtaining in the moving way. Arriving, departing thoughts in every mind. So, Chandrikanam chale chanchalatvam. See, Chandraha is moon. Chandrika is moonlight. I mean reflections, you can say. Chandrikanam, how many Chandrikaha are there? There are so many reflections of Chandraha. So many reflections because so many waves. And so many reflections. Therefore, even though moon is one, only moon appears to be many being reflected in these waters. Again, that unmoving sun seems to be moving because of the movement of the reflecting media. Because of the reflections appears to be many, because of the movement of the reflecting media, moon appears to be moving. Similarly, O Lord, O all pervasive Lord Vishnu, Tava api, for you also, here, this chanchalatvam, this movement is not real movement, even though you are ever of the nature of motionlessness. Because unmoving, how can you move? You're all pervasive. You're addressing all pervasive. Hey Vishnu, hey Vishnu, oh all pervasive Lord, truth, reality. So you're already all pervasive. Therefore your nature is motionlessness, changelessness. Therefore, but still you have chanchalatvam. You have seeming movement because of the plurality of the reflecting media, the minds. You seem to be, you appear to be many, and because of this arriving, departing thought, constantly moving thoughts, you also seem to be having movement. Okay? Is it clear? Actually, you do not move. Even though you do not move at all, you are of the nature of motionlessness. You seem to be moving because of the movement of the thoughts, because of the fleeting of thoughts. And you see, you are one, but you seem to be many because of the plurality of the reflecting media, the minds, the thoughts. And first he says, upadhau yatha bhedata sanmani nam. See, sanmani, he means crystal. Sanmani nam bedhata. The crystal has no difference, you know. Sanmani nam bedhata. The difference of the crystal beads. Sanmani, he means the difference of this crystal beads is purely because of the upadis. Upadhau. Upadhau means in the crystal bead by itself is what? Sanmanihi is a crystal, is a clear. It has no difference. But still, you can say the crystal beads seem to be different. The difference on the part of crystal beads is because of the difference in the upadis. Upadhau. Or you can say the crystal beads which do not have their own any attributes, they seem to be different in the presence of the upadhi. Similarly, tatha bhedata buddhi bhedeshu tepi. Because of the difference in buddhis, because of the difference in the reflecting media, okay, even though you are ever of the nature of differentlessness, differencelessness, consciousness is one, absolutely one, secondless, non-dual. It is free from all differences. Even though the absolute reality ever free from all differences, bheda rahitaha, bheda rahitam vastu, still appears with the difference because of the difference in the manifesting media, the buddhi, intellect. Buddhi bedeshu te api bedata. So, O Lord who is the name of the reality, buddhi bedeshu te bedata. Even though you are ever of the nature of differencelessness, you are free from all differences, you seem to have difference because of the difference in the reflecting media, the manifesting media, buddhis. So many buddhis, okay, so many minds, the difference in the minds. Similarly, therefore, there seems to be difference. Really speaking, there's no difference in Atma, the consciousness. This is the literal meaning of the verse. We'll be seeing again from the beginning all the verses, okay. Upadhu yatha bhedata sanmaninam tatha bhedata buddhi bhedeshu te api. See, difference in upadis alone makes the Atma appears to be different. Essentially, Atma by itself is free from differences. Why? Because one. It is not many, it's one. example is given is what? Yatha chandrikanam jale chanchalatvam. Even the moon is one, appears to be many because of the plurality of reflecting waves or media. Similarly, even though it is ever of the nature of motionlessness, it appears to be moving chanchalatvam it has because of the movement of the waves and the reflecting media. Similarly, O Lord, you are ever free from differences. You are of the nature of differencelessness. Bheda rahitam brahma at. But still appears to be different because of the difference in the upadis, the manifesting media, the buddhis, the minds. This is the literal meaning of the verses. Upadho yatha bhedata sanmaninam tatha bhedata buddhi bhedeshu tepi yatha chandrikanam jale chanchalatvam tatha chanchalatvam tava piha Vishnu tatha chanchalatvam tava piha Vishnu. The beauty is, finally he's addressing the reality itself, Atma itself, as a Vishnu. O all pervasive truth. By calling all pervasive truth, you seem to be different. You seem to be moving. Because all pervasiveness cannot go with the motion. All pervasiveness and motion cannot coexist. Where there is all pervasiveness, there cannot be motion. And absolutely all pervasive is, relatively all pervasive is space. And absolutely all pervasive is consciousness. Which pervades, subtler the vastu, more pervasive it is. Therefore, water can pervade the earth. Water is subtler than, when from the standpoint of earth, water is pervasive. The standpoint of fire, fire is pervasive of the water also. Subtle. Then air is pervasive even of fire also. And space is pervasive even of the air. And what is absolutely all pervasive is the pure consciousness. Why? Because all these elements which are relatively subtler than each other, subtler than the other, is more pervasive. They all matter only. Space pervades other elements because space is matter as well. All these, among the elements, space is the subtlest. Space is all pervasive, but still, space being the space, space being an object of knowledge, the space has no independent existence. This is the worst thing, okay? The space has no independent existence. Why? Because it is just inert matter. So it is subtle, all pervasive, fine, but still it is a matter only. It needs to be known in order to have the status of being existent. That is why, is there something which pervades the space? If you say, you have to say, yes, the vastu alone pervades that space. And that only reality which pervades the space also is that which pervades even time. Can you believe time is much subtler concept? You cannot talk about time. Okay? Much pervasive, much subtler than the space. And here we say the time is also pervaded by consciousness, means the time also object of knowledge. Space is also object of knowledge, and everything which exists within the realm of time and space is object of knowledge. Everything and anything being an object of knowledge itself is enough, inert. Itself is enough to say that it is of the nature of inertness. The object of knowledge means take it for granted. It is of the nature of inertness. So everything is object of knowledge here. Therefore, everything is of the nature of inertness. And anything which is of the nature of inertness is only matter, material product. Therefore, the whole material cosmos, the entire objective universe being material in nature, is absolutely dependent on consciousness for its existence. The world does not have independent existence at all of its own. That is why the matter is never, even though matter has no beginning, even though matter has no end, even though matter is not created and not destroyed, okay, uncreated, it is not destroyed, still, of course, matter is of the nature of undergoing changes. That is the very nature of the matter. Still, matter is not at all countable as a second parallel reality. Never can matter be counted as a parallel reality because it does not have independent existence of its own. It is as good as non-existent only. Then what, if at all you say matter is, you must say matter is only manifestation of consciousness. Matter is appearance of consciousness. It is something you very difficult to accept, but you have to accept. Okay? No, very difficult to accept. No choice. It is mithya. Therefore, it doesn't have existence of its own. It is ever mithya. Which means, then you have to say, you have to resolve the matter also magnanimously. Matter is consciousness. Then say there is no matter other than consciousness. This is again one step ahead. And what is there is only consciousness. And then consciousness also is abstract, formless reality. And you have to say, this, you cannot place that I anywhere else other than this consciousness. Even the I sense, aham, must be resolved in consciousness only. Because aham, when you are generous enough to resolve the whole jagat, the entire material universe in consciousness, what about I sense? Remember, I sense also is a cognition having two aspects. One is vritti aspect and pure consciousness aspect. And there, you vritti also is what? Joins the matter only. Therefore, you have to say finally, I am consciousness. Aham Atma. Finally, you have to say there's neither I nor the world. What is only consciousness. Absolutely. What is this universe then? It's all which shines in the light of consciousness. You can imagine. I see very clearly what Vidyayana Swami says. Taptayah pindavatu. When the iron ball is heated in the fire and you cannot differentiate, the iron ball becomes a fireball. And the heat and the brilliance, iron ball, heat it in the fire. No? Then what? Well, heat iron ball becomes a fireball. Then you cannot distinguish the black, cold iron ball becomes a bright, brilliant, blazing hot ball, fireball. But really, you know very well, the heat does not belong to the iron. Even the brilliance does not belong to the iron. Heat and brilliance belong to the fire. But now because of the inseparability, the whole iron ball looks a fireball, becomes a fireball because it is heated. Okay? And there is no, similarly here, our antahkaram also, because of the manifestation of consciousness, don't literally take it. It's only example given. Just for you to understand how even the subtlest buddhi, which is amazing, it is the uniqueness of the mind matter is that it is capable of manifesting consciousness. Therefore, because only through this buddhi, and then the whole world becomes illumined, means the entire objective universe enjoys its existence only in consciousness. And that pure, non-material, most intangible consciousness alone is implied by the term Atma because of its nature of all-pervasiveness. And he says, I am that Atma. Okay, Aham Atma. So, next week, I will be important. Now I have given you the literal word meanings. Important aspects. What are all these factors? We have to understand the technique, the important aspects for our clarity. Because now literal meaning, I told you, it's easy to understand the literal meanings, but we need to have some clarity exactly from these verses that I'll unfold in the next class. Okay? Definitely I'll do it in the next class onwards. Let us read the verses once again. See, first two verses, don't take it as the Hastamalaka's verses. The third verse onwards only Hastamalaka's verse, 12 verses. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravrutto. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravrutto. Nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpah. Ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayah. Sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma. Ahamatma. Yamagnushnavannityabodhasvarupam. Manaschakshuradinyabodhatmakani. Pravartanta ashritya nishkampamekam sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma ahamatma ahamatma mukhabhasako darpane drishyamano mukhatvat pruthaktvena naivasti vastu Chidabhasako dhishu jivo pitadvate sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma ahamatma ahamatma yathadarpanabhava abhasahanau mukham vidyate kalpanahinamekam tathadhiviyoge Nirabhasako yaha sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma ahamatma ahamatma manaschakshuradervyuktasvayam yo manaschakshurader manaschakshuradihi manaschakshuraderagamyasvarupah Sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma ahamatma ahamatma sayayeko vibhati svatashuddha chetaha prakashasvarupo pinanevadhishu sharavodakastho yathabhanurekaha Sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma ahamatma ahamatma yathaneka chakshuf prakashoravirna kramena prakashi karoti prakashyam anekadhiyo yastathaikav prabodha sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma Ahamatma, Ahamatma, Vivasvat Prabhatam Yatharupamaksham, Pragrinnati Nabhatamevam Vivasvan, Yadabhata Abhasayatyakshamekaha, Sanittopalabdhisvarupohamatma, Ahamatma, Ahamatma Yatha Surya Yekopsvanekas Chalasu स्थिरास्वप्यनन्यद्विभाव्यस्वरूपः चलासु प्रभिन्नः सुधीष्वेक एव स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा अहमात्मा अहमात्मा यथा सूर्य एकोऽप्स्वनेकश्चलासु स्थिरास्वप्यनन्यद्विभाव्यस्वरूपः चलासु प्रभिन्नः सुधीष्वेक एव स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा अहमात्मा अहमात्मा घनच्छन्न धृष्टिर्घनच्छन्नमर्कम् यथा निष्प्रभुम् मन्यते चातिमूढः तथा बद्धवद्भाति यो मूढदृष्टेः स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा अहमात्मा अहमात्मा घनच्छन्न दृष्टिर्घनच्छन्नमर्कम् यथा निष्प्रभुम् मन्यते चातिमूढः तथा बद्धवद्भाति यो मूढदृष्टेः स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा अहमात्मा अहमात्मा समस्तेषु वस्तुष्वनुस्यूतमेकम् समस्तानि वस्तूनि यन्न स्पृशन्ति वियद्वत्सदा शुद्धमच्छस्वरूपम् स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा अहमात्मा अहमात्मा उपाधौ यथा भेदता सन्मणीनाम् तथा भेदता बुद्धिभेदेषु तेऽपि यथा चन्द्रिकाणाम् जले चञ्चलत्वम् तथा चञ्चलत्वम् तवापीह विष्णु तथा चञ्चलत्वम् तवापीह विष्णु इति श्रीहस्तामलकाचार्य रचितम् हस्तामलकसंवादस्तोत्रम् सम्पूर्णम्. You have completed the stotram. This only is not a stotram, okay? Full Vedanta Shastram. So we will reflect on these verses in the next class. Reflection upon these verses will begin next class. So we have not completed Hastamalakacharya Stotram. Don't think we have completed it. We have need to see the meanings like this, then we have to reflect on those verses again. Okay, because it's all meant for contemplation, you see. You see them again. Oh.